From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 77 of Little Brother for the 19th of March, 2022. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I would like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. The responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Back in the 80s, when watching home video meant going to the local video rental shop, perusing the shelves of VHS tapes, paying a rental fee, and taking it home, making sure that you were kind and would rewind the tape after watching and getting it back to the store before they charge another day's rental, a law was passed protecting customers' privacy called, appropriately enough, the Video Privacy Protection Act. This law meant that video rental shops could not sell access to your rental history for advertising or for other purposes. As it turns out, this law is still on the books. It also seems as though it might apply to streaming services. Under this law, a couple of plaintiffs have filed a suit against HBO in the U.S. District Court in the New York Southern District. It seems as though HBO has been sharing data about the viewing habits of their subscribers with Facebook. The suit claims that Facebook was using the data to target their ads and to harvest user data without permission. HBO's privacy policy states that viewers must agree to this before such sharing will take place. Ireland's Data Protection Commission has fined Facebook 17 million euro, or approximately 18.6 million US dollars, for violations of the European General Data Protection Regulation, which many of you will know as the GDPR. The fines come in response to security lapses that were disclosed to the regulator back in 2018, stemming from an investigation triggered by no fewer than 12 data breach notifications between June and December of that year. Approximately 30 million Facebook users were impacted, which is approximately 5 times the population of Ireland. Regular users of desktop and laptop computers understand what the purpose of a file browser is. It's there to give you a visual way to view, navigate, and manipulate the contents of your computer's storage. Nothing more, nothing less. Microsoft have decided that this is a great place to pollute your field of vision with advertisements for other Microsoft products. This isn't the first time they've tried this. Back in 2016, Microsoft did the same thing with Windows 8. And also placed ads for Microsoft Edge in the start menu of Windows 10, so for this trend to continue into Windows 11 should come as no surprise. A disappointment, sure, but not a surprise. Firefox may be tracking you. The question is open as to what degree. However, downloads of the Firefox browser all come with a unique identifier that is tied to that particular download. When you install Firefox, this gets reported to Mozilla. This can be observed by simply hashing the download, which will allow you to see that every single download instance has a unique hash. The good news is that the door isn't completely closed to cutting this off. If you download Firefox from Mozilla's software repository rather than from the official download site, the identifier is absent or meaningless, as the hashes are identical. Additionally, some privacy-oriented websites are offering downloads of Firefox, which will result in everyone who downloads from the site having the same identifier, though this is not recommended because you have no guarantees that the download is unadulterated. Linux users can safely expect that this is not going to be an issue, thanks to most distributions putting Firefox with other open source software releases into centralized and verified repositories. To the sound of cheers from IT workers everywhere, the Senate passed a bill earlier this week to end the practice of changing our clocks twice a year. The bill, should it pass into law, would place the country permanently on daylight saving time. Apparently nobody saw this coming. The bill was introduced into the Senate by Senator Marco Rubio, a Republican of Florida, who offered it up for passage by unanimous consent, apparently expecting Senator Roger Wicker, a Republican of Missouri, to reject it. Well, he didn't actually expect it to pass. However, Wicker didn't object, and so it did. Now, sleep experts say that we've got the wrong idea here, that instead we should be keeping the clocks on standard time rather than daylight saving time. However, this point may be moot, as it is not clear yet whether or not the bill will make its way through the House or past President Biden's desk. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. CDs are a very Gen X thing, as music consumption has moved from there to downloadable tracks and then on to streaming platforms, where you don't actually possess a copy of the track, but actually download it every time you want to listen. Less than a week after Snoop Dogg acquired Death Row Records, the record label where he started his career, the rap legend has upset the audience by removing content from streaming platforms. Snoop tweeted, quote, "Death Row Records will be an NFT label. We will be putting out artists through the metaverse. Just like we broke the industry when we was the first independent to be major, I want to be the first major in the metaverse," end quote. A Twitter user summed it up perfectly when he said, quote, "So, thanks to Snoop Dogg promoting NFT shit and making Death Row Records an NFT record label, all the releases except Tupac's will be removed from Spotify and so on. This is actually bullshit. That means no more Dre's Chronic on Spotify. NFTs need to die. Fucking stupid movement," end quote. For what it's worth, CD players do still work, and they can be had for a song at many thrift stores, and yes, I did go there. As with the past few weeks, the war in Ukraine has yielded a great deal of cybersecurity news, so I've collected a bunch of those stories together just for the sake of sanity. For those in my audience who are looking to take a break from the war, I'll drop in an edit in post-production telling you what timestamp to jump to skip the war news. All right, this is me from the future, and the timestamp you're looking for is 11 minutes and 55 seconds. Now back where we were. I know that I am not alone in having mixed feelings about this first one. I've mentioned a facial recognition provider called Clearview AI a few times in the past, in episodes 60, 66, and 74. Well, it seems as though the Ukrainian Defense Ministry is using Clearview AI to vet people through checkpoints. Now, on one hand, there is a legitimate need being filled here to sort friend from foe. On the other hand, Clearview's approach to gathering data for their facial recognition system is of questionable ethics, which has gotten it banned from operating or gathering data in some parts of the world. Ukraine has recently joined the European power grid and severed its ties with the Russian power grid. This was already a work in progress, however, the war has led to its acceleration and completion. It's common practice for power grids of neighboring countries to be tied together, allowing for electricity to be bought and sold over international borders, and severing ties with Russia in this case just simply removes a potentially dangerous dependency. Moldova has also joined the European power grid in the same maneuver. Slovakian internet security firm ESET have observed a new data-destroying malware appearing in Ukraine. The new malware, known as CaddyWiper, doesn't appear to be designed to exfiltrate or ransom the data on a network, but rather to just flat-out erase it as an act of sabotage. The malware infects Windows devices and first determines whether or not the victim computer is a domain controller, and will leave it intact if it is. Caddywiper is the fourth such malware spotted in the wild in Ukraine since the start of the war. As I mentioned last week, VPN downloads have been increasing amongst Russian internet users. For instance, Swiss internet privacy firm Proton have seen a tenfold increase in downloads of their products. However, the fastest growing download appears to be a privacy-enhanced messaging app, one I've mentioned many times and which I use very aggressively myself and highly recommend, Signal Private Messenger. Collectively, these applications provide the means to communicate privately and bypass the blockages that the Russian government have put into place. In the meantime, the encrypted messenger app Telegram, whose relationship with the Russian regime is ambiguous, has seen a slowdown in adoption. The Russian government has launched its own certificate authority. In browsers and other software that have accepted the certificate authority as valid and trusted, the Russian government and organizations authorized by it will have the ability to issue cryptographic certificates. Now, I honestly can't think of any reasons to accept the Russian root certificate. However, I'd advise that if you can, you audit your list of CAs and make sure that you trust all of the entities listed there. Unfortunately, this is not a trivial task and not for the faint of heart. So, the new CA could become valid in many browsers with no warning. Finally, Russia has a problem that is arguably of its own making. As a result of the sanctions, there is no longer any access to Western cloud storage providers nor any ability to import new storage devices from Western manufacturers, meaning what data storage capacity they have now is all they're getting. It's currently expected to run out in 2 months' time. The German government agency responsible for cybersecurity, the Bundesamt für Sicherheit und Informationstechnik, or BSI, is warning German citizens and, of course, anyone else who cares to listen to stop using Kaspersky virus protection products. The reasoning is clear enough. Kaspersky is a Russian company, and even if they're trustworthy in and of themselves, we cannot trust the Russian government not to put pressure on them to assist with surveillance or sabotage. Antivirus software needs to be trustworthy. Where it is positioned in a contemporary computer system gives it unparalleled access to every file in the computer system. It can read every file, even as the file is being created, and it has, by design, the ability to remove files from circulation and put them into quarantine. The system privileges needed to be able to perform these actions also give the software all of the ability necessary to exfiltrate, alter, or completely remove data. All it would take would be a suitable update to be pushed. As usual, we will end this week's episode with the fail of the week. We have two this week. Our first fail goes, once again, to the Russian armed forces. Owing to the communication snafus that I've spoke about in episode 75, a Russian general has been killed in Ukraine. It seems as though the Russian general in this case was using unsecured communications, as we've come to expect. Ukrainian forces were able to geolocate the signal and attack the location. Alright, see guys, this is why OPSEC is important. Perhaps in a future episode I'll do a feature on the topic of personal OPSEC because it's useful to know. Well, while my previous statements have made it pretty clear that my sympathies lie with Ukraine in this war, let me be honest here. This is a pawn-takes-queen moment. This was a stupid way to die, born out of hubris and carelessness. In announcing the death of Major General Vitaly Gerasimov, Ukrainian officials mentioned, quote, significant problems with communications, end quote. Clearly, the Ukrainian officials have a gift for understatement. Our second fail this week is on Google Maps. The popular mapping website and its associated app were apparently displaying a blank world on the screen. You could still navigate from place to place and even get accurate directions and find relevant points on the map, but the map itself was blank, rendering it unusable. As of this recording, normal service has been restored. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Asriel, Lotus, Knight Rider 007, and Fongaboo for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our fail of the week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.